Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. David Williams joining us now, president of TPA. That's the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And David, the mantra of the left always is, actually not of the left always, sometimes the right as well, but you know, never let a crisis go to waste.
Boy, that's for sure. And we saw that earlier this year with the pandemic when they spent $1.9 trillion in COVID relief. And that was on top of the money we already spent
right.
for COVID relief last year. And these numbers are just astounding, right? We're talking about $10 trillion was spent last year by the federal government. And that's our money. And, you know, that's taxpayer money that was
yep.
spent. And, you know, now they want to spend more. And it's just, it doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't stop. And now they want tax increases to really put, you know, injury onto insult, as I say.
Yeah, you know, no, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, unfortunately, most people in general, politicians, talk show hosts, and so on, throw around $1 trillion like it's no big deal. But people forget that, $1 billion is 1,000 millions. $1 trillion is 1,000 billions, and we throw trillions around like you and I, you know, buying a McDonald's hamburger.
Yeah, and that's actually part of the problem, is because we have really kind of raised the baseline of what spending is. You know, I remember when people were offended by the government spending billions of dollars.
Right.
You know, now these bills start at $1 trillion, and
right.
this has to stop. I mean, we really have to put an end to this, where we're becoming numb to this. And, you know, a lot of people don't know is we're reaching the debt ceiling by the end of July. So we have some really important financial issues to deal with in this country. And both Republicans and Democrats at this point really are turning a blind eye to the fiscal, you know, ramifications of the amount of money they've been spending.
Well, and we're starting to see some of those, you know, ramifications now. And David, I've been talking about this on my program for 6 months plus, that, you know, we've got real inflation. It is here. I've even argued with some quote unquote, you know, Wall Street pundits, if you would, that, you know, inflation is here and it's real. Finally, this week, we see that the stated number is around 5 to 6%. But really, when you add everything into it, we're probably around a 10% inflation number. And so we are starting to reap some of these ramifications of what's happened.
Yeah. And what politicians and bureaucrats need to realize is that these policies have real-world consequences,
mm-hmm.
is that when you put $1.9 trillion into the economy, you're going to have inflation. When you have these policies, you're going to have this kind of inflation. And let's be clear, government doesn't create wealth.
No.
People
never
create wealth.
No, in fact, government, let's go one step further, David. Government takes wealth away.
For sure. For sure. That's absolutely right. And, you know, if government created wealth, West Virginia would be the richest state in the country because
Amen.
Of the amount of earmarks that yeah. Robert Byrd sent them, you know, back in the day. But
yeah.
obviously they aren't the richest state
no.
in the country.
Amen.
So,
no, they're not. And one thing else I want to remind folks of, and I know you guys are watching this very closely as well, we're not done yet. These guys are proposing, the Democrats are proposing and have kind of agreed upon themselves. I've been watching this and reading about it. You know, $3 to $4 trillion in additional spending on top of what we have now for things that, frankly, David, as a country, we don't need, period.
Well, that's exactly right, because they're talking about the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation. I don't want to get, you know, too deep into the woods about reconciliation is, but that's...
No, I've talked about it enough on the program, or most folks would understand
yeah,
at this point. So, no, you're good. Go ahead.
But that's on top of the 4.2 or 4.3 trillion they're going to spend in the regular budget cycle. So that 3.5 is not the whole thing. I mean, that's just part of what they want to spend this year. And we have to remind people that this is what's happening in Washington, D.C. And you're right. You know, we're talking about, you know, free education, you know, $500 billion in, and I'm using air quotes, free education, because right. obviously it's not free for taxpayers because right. we're paying for it. And all of these social services that they're calling infrastructure, and we've talked about this before, electric vehicles, the obsession, the absolute obsession with electric vehicles. Now they want these mandates, these global change, you know, climate change mandates of 80% renewable by, I think, 2030, and then 100% by 2035. I mean, numbers that just are dumb. I mean, let's be honest, that these projections just don't make any sense whatsoever.
No, you are spot on. Again, I appreciate what you guys are doing, Taxpayer Protection Alliance. And again, one of the things that even as conservatives, David, we have to make sure we use the correct vocabulary. And I did this on one of our local neighborhood Facebook pages not that long ago. And that is correcting people when they say, oh, the government's got all the money in the world. No, the government has all of our money. They create no money whatsoever other than the money they borrow, which, again, we pay back anyways.
That's right. And, you know, what I do is urge people is that $3.5 trillion, call your member of Congress and, you know, put your virtual foot down
right.
and say, you know, this is too much. 4.2 later in the year is too much because it has to end somewhere. And, you know, the interest on the debt, and I don't want to get, you know, too long-winded here, but we're going to be talking about $500 to $600 billion just to pay interest on the debt. This is money that's just disappearing to countries like China to pay interest on the debt. So it's scary, and I can't overstate this enough just how serious this problem is.
No, you are exactly right. The right now the liability of the U.S. unfunded liabilities total, which most people don't ever talk about this number. I know you guys do. You know, we're talking about a total national debt right now. I'm looking at the debt clock of about $28.5 trillion, but our total unfunded liabilities as a country is $151 trillion, David. It's a far cry from that $28 trillion, which means that the liability per citizen of the United States of America is $453,000.
I mean, just mind-boggling numbers, aren't they? And that's
They're huge.
You know, people need to, you know, kind of focus on the overspending and really the ridiculous amounts of money that Congress is talking about now. And they're doing this in the middle of summer, and they do this.
Yeah.
You know, good news never comes out on a Friday afternoon, and good budget negotiations never happen in July or August. It's always during a time where they think people aren't paying attention. But obviously, we're talking about it, we're paying attention, and your listeners are paying attention. So I hope, you know, we can catch them,
yeah.
right? They think they're pulling a fast one, but you know, hopefully,
great point.
You know, enough publicity and we can get to them.
Great point. Again, David, I appreciate you joining us. How do folks find you guys?
We're at protectingtaxpayers.org. And please call your member of Congress if you don't like what they're doing. You have to make sure that your voice is heard.
Amen. Well said. David, thanks as always. I always appreciate you joining us.
Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And that was short notice that David joined us. As you guys knew earlier, I was in jury duty this morning and really didn't know whether I'd be on air today or not. And once I found out I was done, there was a few guests out there, David being one of them, that agreed to come on short notice. So I appreciate him. And he had a great message. And we need to, folks. We've got to set our foot down and stop this ridiculous amount of spending. And it is a big issue. At least it is for me. Affordable interest mortgages next. Kurt Rogers. And as we talk about debt, one of the ways you can save on debt is your mortgage. In most cases, it's the highest payment that you'll make on a monthly basis. And Kurt can show you how to make that work, leverage it, and save money at the same time. 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
HR departments are terrified. They don't want to make people come back to work, but now they're having to grapple with it. I've had people tell me, I'm never going back into the office. That's the mindset that COVID has taught us. And I wonder what we do about it.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig, if you're still listening, I know you had a comment you wanted to add to what Steve and I were talking about during the first hour. You're welcome to call back and comment on that. I've got some other things I'll cover here at the bottom of the hour, but we've got some time right now. If you want to call, feel free to do so. Or anyone else, by the way, if you want to add anything we've talked about, including what we just talked to David Williams about, 303-477-5600. Don't forget the text line, 307-200-8222. 307-200-8222. So I read something this morning before jury duty, because you can't take your electronic devices out once you're inside the courtroom. But, you know, they put you in the little box, you know, before that, or the room before that. And so I had some time to read a little bit of the news and such this morning, which I do every day anyways. And on Fox 31 News, there's a problem solvers article. Say that really, really fast. Talking about how trash truck drivers are hard to hire. And truck drivers in general right now are hard to hire. Actually, hiring anybody right now is a little bit more difficult. But truck drivers in general are hard to hire. In this case, you need to be a CDL, or you have to be a CDL licensed driver and have an air brake certification or other things to drive a trash truck. And I was thinking about this morning as I was sitting in the room prior to, you know, going in to be, you know, potentially selected to be a juror. And I thought, you know, I have a fix for this shortage of truck drivers. And it literally could be fixed by Washington. I'm not sure it could be done by executive order, possibly, but you could run some legislation through either on a national basis, so federally this could be done, or it could be done even on a state-by-state basis. And hear me out on this. So currently, on a national level, and most states follow the National Department of Transportation laws, DOT. So currently, in, for example, the state of Colorado, if you're driving any truck, whether it's loaded or not, but if it has the potential to haul combined weight, truck, trailer, 26,001 pounds or above, you have to have a commercial driver's license, a CDL. Now, some of you think, well, 26,000 pounds is a lot. Well, really, it's not. Bear with me here. I'll get to how I fix the truck driver problem in a moment. So anybody that drives a vehicle commercially, this does not apply to you as residents, but as a commercial driver, anybody that owns a business, if you're hauling or even have the potential to haul, even if it's empty, so you've got a truck and trailer, they're empty, but they have the potential to haul 26,001 pounds or above or have air brakes, you have to have a commercial driver's license. So my fix to the shortage of truck drivers is this. Raise the doggone GVWR rating on these requirements of what it takes to drive, you know, what it takes to drive with a CDL. And what I mean by that is, in today's world, because of the modern pickups that we have, and by the way, these CDOT rules or these DOT rules are old. Again, bear with me. Where this becomes a problem for a lot of us in the commercial world is I can take a Dodge 5500, which has a 19,500-pound GVWR all by itself. Even if it's got a no bed on the back of it, it's still rated for 19,500. If I put a dump bed on it, if I put a flat bed on it, no matter what's on the back of the truck, it doesn't matter. The truck itself is weighted, is rated for 19,500 pounds. So do the math. If I put any sort of a medium-sized trailer behind that truck, I now have to have a commercial driver's licensed, driver, a CDL driver behind the wheel, even if the truck is empty. Now, with the advent of all the modern things we have on these trucks and trailers and so on, literally any of you listening, for the most part, could get behind a truck, even fully loaded with a trailer fully loaded, and if everything is set up correctly, you can drive anywhere you want to. No problems. So my point with fixing this truck driver shortage is move some of the drivers by raising the lower limit of what it really is required to have a CDL. In other words, let's go from 26,000 pounds to 36,000 pounds. Raise it 10,000 pounds, which, by the way, would not affect anything at all when it comes to accidents or anything along those lines. But what it would do is it would enable a lot of the quote-unquote CDL drivers that are really driving, I think, non-CDL vehicles, it would enable them to jump into an actual full-fledged CDL truck and go drive. And you would, in my case, you would backfill with a non-CDL driver in those other areas, and it wouldn't be that hard to do, and away we go. So really, one of the ways, here in Colorado especially, if they want to fix the shortage of truck drivers in Colorado, raise the limit, the bottom limit, if you would, the minimums, weight-wise, of what it takes to put a CDL driver behind the wheel. Now, for a lot of you that are out there thinking, well, wouldn't that cause, more accidents and you'd have less experienced people driving heavier vehicles and so on and so forth? Bear with me again. Any of you listening, doesn't matter who you are, if you have a driver's license, period, no matter what state, if you have a U.S. driver's license, you can go down and if you have enough cash or credit, you can buy a 40-foot pusher bus diesel, has a huge gross vehicle weight rating, well over the 26,000 pounds, by the way. You are, because you're just a homeowner, allowed to put a trailer behind that. And by the way, put a trailer behind that. So you can actually take your big motorhome, 40-foot pusher diesel motorhome. You can put a 10,000-pound carrying capacity trailer behind the motorhome. And you can put another camper trailer, boat trailer, vehicle, you name it, behind the second trailer and have two trailers behind that motorhome if you so desire. And have to have no CDL license at all. Just a normal, regular driver's license. So those of you out there that would be listening to me that would say, no, John, we can't raise that lower limit on CDL drivers because it would cause too many accidents and so on. Hogwash. You see these guys rolling down the road right now that'll have a big, Ford Super Duty or a Duramax diesel or a Dodge, Ram, whatever it happens to be, and they're hauling a big old huge, trailer behind it, whether that be a bumper pole or whether it be a tongue trailer or whether it be a fifth wheel trailer, makes no difference. They're all exceeding, by the way, the 26,000 pounds when you get any kind of a sizable trailer behind that truck at all. The majority of them, unless they work for somebody that requires them to have a CDL license, the majority of them have no CDL. Yet they can drive around freely, no problem. This sort of goes back to David Williams' talk when it comes to taxes. The reason why we have the lower CDL limit is because that gives government more power over all of those companies and the drivers of, because when you're a commercial driver like that, you will be required to stop and do all of the inspections that they happen to have going on that they do mobily and or stationary. And you have to stop, and if there's a problem, you pay the fines. So there's a way to cure some of the problems we have in this truck driving world, in my opinion, immediately. We just have to think through the process a little more and be willing to make some changes. I don't think government's willing to make those changes. Mike and Parker.
John, good afternoon. Now, you're totally right. There's actually a bill in Congress right now to do that very thing you're talking about.
I wouldn't say it would fix every shortage of truck drivers across the country, Mike, but it would help out immensely.
No, it would absolutely help. But to realize the FedEx and Amazon is spending millions of dollars lobbying to get the law changed, and the Teamsters is fighting to keep it as is.
Of course they are, because they know, the Teamsters and those guys know, that if they can keep that threshold down, they have more control over what happens with drivers in the union and so on. And again, I don't have any dog in the fight on this one way or the other. I mean, my company, we've got the drivers we need and so on. But, you know, I read this article talking about not enough trash truck drivers. The trash is getting stinky. It's not getting picked up enough. And I'm thinking to myself, there's an easy fix for this. Just fix it.
There is. Just fix it. But the thing is, you know, you have these, I'll call it, the Teamsters have a monopoly on CDL licenses to some extent.
Yes.
And they want to protect their own.
Yes.
And yet FedEx and Amazon is going to, I think FedEx and Amazon will win. I think they have deeper pockets.
Well, whether they do have deeper pockets, by the way, but I think they're, at least for me, Mike, the argument for what I and you are both saying is technology has advanced. All of these trucks now, even these big trucks that I'm talking about, have anti-lock brakes. The trailers even at times can have anti-lock brakes. I mean, there are so many advancements now on the trucks themselves that you could easily go to a 36 to 40,000 pound weight rating and then require a CDL, and it's not going to change any accidents on the road at all.
You're totally right, and what you're saying makes total sense. But you and I understand that Congress doesn't...
No.
If you look at importing drugs, I mean, Eli Lilly or DuPont or whatever, they make it right in Canada, import it to the U.S., but we can't do it.
Right.
And it makes common sense. Why can't I do it? Well, the law says you can't.
Right.
Well, why can't I? Well, because Eli Lilly doesn't want you doing that. And the Teamsters don't want that raise.
It's true. Yeah, and what's so irritating about this one, though, Mike, which is even worse than the drug deal, is, again, you and I, even just as regular drivers, I mean, if you and I are not doing anything commercial, but we want to hop in a big old motorhome or a big old truck with a trailer behind it, and even put two trailers behind that truck and drive cross country, including Eisenhower Tunnel Pass and everything else we want to go do, you and I can go do that. But I, as a commercial operator, can't do that without having a CDL driver behind the wheel.
No, and that's what monopolies create. They create unfair and unbalanced laws. But I like what you're saying. I agree 100%.
Thank you.
It needs to happen.
Thank you.
And I think it will. I think Amazon and FedEx will be the Teamsters union.
I'll be watching that. And if you got any info on that, send it to me. I'd like to keep up on that.
Will do.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's amazing. This entire week, and Mike, I love you. Man, we haven't disagreed on a single thing this entire week, Charlie. Not one thing. We have been... lock, stock, and barrel, one-on-one, and Mike, I appreciate you. Normally, you know, we call in, or he calls in, I should say, and we have some disagreements and so on, and this week has not been the case. And by the way, even when, Mike, you disagree with us, I still enjoy it. I appreciate you listening and calling, and I realize everybody listening, we're not always going to agree. There's even some folks out there that are probably in the commercial, you know, driver's world that disagree with what I'm saying, although I think those of you that disagree with me, you would have a hard time proving me wrong when I talk about the safety sides of things. And I'm guessing, and Mike will send me some information, but I'm guessing that, you know, FedEx, UPS, and the others will probably prove to Congress that raising this GVWR limit on trucks and what CDL requirements are there, that you're not going to find there's any huge safety disasters, if you would. You know, in other words, we're not going to see this, accidents go up and the safety numbers change. And again, I say that because if you look at what a regular homeowner, a regular driver with a driver's license can do, the only reason why I have to do these things with a CDL is because I'm a commercial operator, yet Joe Schmo down the road with a big, huge 40-foot travel trailer behind a diesel pickup can roll back and forth across the country with no problems. And because he's just a homeowner, he can do that. But if I put my name on the side of the truck and do it commercially, I have to put a person, a driver, with a CDL license behind the wheel. That, folks, is not right. And I'm not saying, by the way, that these homeowners, these regular drivers should go out and have a CDL either. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, let's make this fair across the board, raise the limit of what's required for a CDL in the first place. We'll have more truck drivers to go pick up trash in the Denver area. The stink will go away, and life is good. I'm not sure government is smart enough to do everything that I just said. But Golden Eagle Financial is up next, folks, and somebody that I do know that's smart when it comes to finances and helping you get down the road to retirement is Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. Find him at klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
Give your retirement plan a stress test so that circumstances outside your control, like inflation, won't damage your standard of living. Chartered financial consultant and founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, gives you the peace of mind that your money will last. Let's say you need about $4,000 a month to live comfortably in retirement. Then suppose inflation averages 2.5%. In 15 years, you'll need $5,800 a month to maintain your purchasing power. Al will show you how to reinvest a portion of your nest egg into alternative tax-free accounts to create even more guaranteed income in retirement. Create a retirement plan that will hold up against the Golden Eagle stress test for a more comfortable retirement. Schedule a free no-obligation consultation now at klzradio.com/money. Confidence through planning. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Folks, I talk about it all the time, but really, your cheapest thing when it comes to your vehicle to do is keep it well-maintained, keep it running, fix the things that go wrong, and stay ahead of that to where you just don't have repairs, you do maintenance instead. Extreme Auto Repair can do all of that for you. Find them at klzradio.com, look for the Extreme form, fill it out, get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. Don't forget, they've got Cooper tires they'll sell you at cost as well. Call 303-841-1071.
Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity. No more hopping from one mechanic to another trying to find a solution for your vehicle's persistent issue. Extreme Auto Repair has a reputation for fixing problems quickly. You bring your Nissan to the dealer because of a rattling noise. They charge you $4,000. You still hear the noise. You bring the same vehicle to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, where Sean and his team quickly discover a broken bolt in the subframe, a known Nissan failure they have seen many times before. Real stories like this one earn Extreme Auto Repair customers for life. As one woman exclaims in a recent 5-star review, "Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity." The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair stay up to date with the manufacturer data for your vehicle's specific make and model for quick, experienced problem solving. klzradio.com/extreme.
Hi, everybody. This is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560, and I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Ever Accountable. Pornographers are technically savvy, and they know your weakness. So fight technology with technology. Become Ever Accountable. Go to everaccountable.com/KLZ.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, lines are open. If you want to call in, feel free to do so. Text line 307-200-8222. The studio line 303-477-5600. Again, 303-477-5600. There's a law. We all know this. In fact, for any of you, any of us that have really lived, see, I'm 56. The law by Lyndon Johnson, I believe, was passed in 1968, signed into law by Lyndon Johnson in 1968, that essentially said that anybody under the age of 21 could not buy a handgun. So in my lifetime, I don't remember it ever being any different. If you wanted to buy a handgun, you had to wait till you were 21, period. Now, a federal appeals court has ruled that those prohibitions on selling handguns to Americans under 21 violates the Second Amendment, their Second Amendment right. This is a big victory for us in the gun rights movement, by the way. Now, this will, of course, get debated and rehashed and probably will end up at the Supreme Court, which it'll be interesting to see what happens at that point. So a divided U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, said Tuesday that the law was an arbitrary restriction that relegated 18 to 20-year-olds to a second-class status under the Second Amendment. The decision is likely to be appealed and may eventually reach the Supreme Court. When do constitutional rights vest? At 18 or 21, 16 or 25, why not 13 or 33, wrote Judge Julius Richardson, nominated to the court by President Donald Trump. In the law, a line must sometimes be drawn, but there must be a reason why constitutional rights cannot be enjoyed until a certain age. By the way, that's a really smart judge, and I've always wondered, we can send our young men and women that are under the age of 21 to war, They can carry a pistol. They can carry a rifle, an M16. They can do all the things necessary to kill the enemy under the age of 21. But if something happened and they were injured in battle and they get sent home and they're now 20 years of age instead of 18, they are not allowed to buy a handgun until they're 21. Follow where I'm going with this, folks? Where did this arbitrary number that 21 is somehow magically the day you become an adult and you can own a handgun? It's a stupid way of looking at it, frankly. I think if you were going to apply a particular age to all those sorts of things, you could say the same thing about voting. Okay, you can't vote till you're 21. If you can't own a gun till you're 21, a pistol, I should say, then why are you able to vote? You should have to wait until you're 21 to do that as well. If you're not able to think clearly enough to own a pistol at age 21, why can you vote prior? And that, by the way, folks, that would be what some of my arguments when it comes to this arbitrary law that was put into place in 1968 by Lyndon Johnson, who, by the way, was a communist through and through. And there are those of us out there, I am one of them, that believe he had a lot to do with President Kennedy no longer living on this earth. That's my own personal opinion. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but Lyndon Johnson was drunk on power big time and was, in my opinion, one of the worst presidents we ever had as a country. Warren and Cheyenne, you're next. What's going on, sir?
What are you doing?
I'm complaining about Lyndon Johnson.
He was terrible.
He was awful. I mean, I was not very old. I can barely remember him. I know history enough to know some of the things that he did. You can remember him as clearly as I can remember George Bush.
Well, he was notorious. What a womanizer.
He was a womanizer, and he was always out for a power grab. Am I right in saying that, Warren?
No, you are correct, bud.
The guy was, you know, drunk on power. He was a womanizer. He was as far as I'm concerned, Warren, he was a pervert. The guy was not a good president any way, shape, or form, and I still think he had a lot to do with the death of Kennedy.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I wasn't around then, so I can't say that for sure, but that's my own thought process.
Well, that's all right. And he used to call his aides into the bathroom while he was on the commode.
What a weirdo. What a weirdo, Warren.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that is just plain weird. We're talking about, and just, I know you were talking to Charlie, what we're talking about is this U.S. Court of Appeals that has basically come back and said, wait a minute, time out. You cannot have a law that says 18 to 21-year-olds cannot buy a pistol. That goes against their Second Amendment right. This is probably going to go to the Supreme Court before it's all said and done. But Lyndon Johnson signed that bill into law in 1968 saying if you're 21 years of age or younger, you could not buy a handgun.
Oh, I'm not going to get into that, John.
Well, you know, my point, Warren, is we'll let these kids vote. We'll send them off to war. We'll let them do all sorts of things. But until they're 21, they can't buy a handgun.
Yeah, that's tragic.
So now, and my feeling is if we're going to be consistent, then fine. They can't vote till they're 21.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be both.
Well,
you can't have one way and one the other. It has to be consistent is my point.
Well, that is true. And your comments on the church were perfect.
Thank you.
I mean, spot on.
Yeah, the church screwed up.
I can't even go anymore.
Well, the
they don't really say anything. It's all lovey-dovey, touchy-touchy.
Yeah.
And I used to ask my ex-wife, I said, what'd you get out of this sermon? She couldn't tell me.
And that's when it's that case, it's time to do something different.
Man, I'm telling you. Yeah, I got rid of her. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just laughing with you. You're great. How's work going, Warren?
Oh, man. I worked on a fuel tanker today.
Okay.
It's in bad shape. Oh, it's going to cost them some money, John.
Good. Nothing wrong with that.
Aluminum is not cheap to repair.
No, it is not. That's why guys like you exist, Warren.
Oh, But no, everything else going fine.
Good, good, good to
hear. That CDL deal that you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
There is not a doggone thing wrong with what you said.
Thank you.
It's been so lopsided for years, I can't even understand it.
Well, and I would have to go back and look to see when the current CDL rules were put into play, but I'm guessing it's been a very long time.
I'm going to say probably in the 80s.
You're probably correct.
And all the hoops I had to jump through, and I had all the classifications, but if you miss a medical exam, they're going to pull your license.
Yes, that is correct.
And I wouldn't think that was would be quite necessary. As long as you are valid and have not had an accident, I haven't had one in 40 years.
Good for you.
But I don't understand a lot of their rulings.
Well, I don't either.
And it is a money. It is a power game.
It is. It's a money and a power game. You are correct. So, Warren, as always, I love talking to you. Appreciate you, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Let's get James on before the break. James in Lakewood, you're next, sir.
Hey, John. You know, I used to have a CDL. I got it through RTD. I used to drive a bus.
Okay.
And, you know, it's okay to, you know, I used to go to Rockies game, and I drink 6-7 beers. And another 3. And by the time I got home, John, I was pretty rocked, right?
Right.
And the next morning I got to drive, the alcohol wears off.
Right.
I'm fine to drive. You know, you can't be tested. But if I wanted to smoke, which I don't, but if I wanted to smoke a joint and I get pulled over the next day, even though I'm not high, because the high is worn off, but the THC is in your level, is in your system, you're fired. It's a stupid law.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying, right?
No, I fully do. And those are things that I think as time goes by, you know, are going to have to change. Real quick, I did look up while Warren was talking, the Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 1986 is when the established minimum requirements across the states was put into play. My point, James, is you know, vehicles have progressed immensely, especially on trucks, since 1986. And as you know, they are not one and the same. An 86 truck versus what's today are not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah. But I'm not recommending that anybody drive high.
No, me neither. Please. Nobody think that. Neither one of us are saying that. But again, to your point, it's not consistent.
No, it's not. And if I got pulled over on THC level, and even though my high's worn off, I'm fired. It's federally mandated. It doesn't make sense.
And you'll lose your CDL, and you probably won't get it back.
And then you're paying a fine, and you might even go get locked up. So
And
that's all I got to say, John.
James, I appreciate that. What he's really saying is, again, folks, we're not consistent in how we lay these things out. And that is the biggest complaint that I have when it comes to some of the laws that we have across the country. We're not consistent. We have this, you know, it's sort of this, you know, wherever you end up class-wise or wherever you end up, you know, skirting around the law, if you would, is where it ends up. And it always seems like, to me anyways, that it's the businesses, and in this case, the smaller businesses that get hurt the most by these laws, not big business, like Mike said earlier. It's not the big guys that get hurt by this. It's the little guys that do. So we'll come right back. If you want to comment on that at all, let me know. 303-477-5600. American National Insurance is next. Now, you got to have insurance, folks. You got to have it on your home. You got to have it on your car. By the way, it doesn't matter whether you owe money or they're paid for. You want to make sure things are properly insured. So if something happens, an accident, by the way, that's why they're called accidents. We don't plan for them. They just happen. If there's an accident, we want to make sure that we're covered. You can do that through Paul, my agent. He'd love to talk to you. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Decline to sign. Keep Colorado Initiative 25 LEAP off the ballot. Petitioners are in front of your grocery store asking for your signature on the LEAP initiative, which would raise marijuana taxes for a big new bureaucracy for the children. Just say no. Kim Munson here. Friday, researcher and author Patty Kurgan connects many of the dots of the LEAP narrative. Small business entrepreneur Al Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, shares the latest regarding small business in Colorado. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thank you all for joining us today. I appreciate it very much on a little bit of a hazy Thursday afternoon slash evening as we head into the evening now here in just a few minutes. And again, appreciate all of you listening and great comments that some of you have had, not only calling in, but also texting as well. So thank you all very much for that. Tito is up next. Tito, welcome.
Hey, I just want to make a comment about people that, you know, want to smoke a joint and have something like a special license, you know, to drive one of those huge rigs, you know.
Right.
It's just a framework, you know. If you know that the alcohol and marijuana don't test the same way, then it comes down to personal responsibility. If you want to complain, you know, complain to our, you know, legislators and representatives, so that we demand the same kind of accountability on them. You know, should they be also be tested for drugs? You know,
Good point.
So that's what I have to say.
No, you bring up a great point. And I think, you know, all our last caller was trying to say, Tito, is, you know, we need to be more consistent in the way we do these things. And I understand, everybody listening, please know, I understand that all of this, you know, marijuana end of things and the fact that as a state we have it recreationally and medically, and it has brought a lot of things into the state that I don't think, you know, folks even thought of prior to that, Tito, and I get that. But we've had it long enough by now where we could have the laws in place by now.
I have been a resident of Colorado for almost 30 years, and ever since Ritter passed, you know, Governor Ritter signed the legislation for medicinal marijuana, I have seen nothing but trash in our on our highway.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah. It's one of those things that with marijuana came a lot of bad things. And, you know, one of the things that also happened is that, you're going to be held accountable for, you know, the smoking the marijuana. And unfortunately, just the way marijuana, THC stays in your system, you know, you test positive, you test positive, you know. Boils down to personal responsibility.
Agree. Well said. No, spot on. Tito, thank you so much for the phone call. He is exactly right. We talk about that constantly on this program and other programs here at Crawford Broadcasting. Personal responsibility. We talk about it all the time. I'm going to talk about it with you in a moment about your roof and RoofMax. It's called personal responsibility. One of the areas, by the way, that there's personal responsibility in, and I read this in the Pueblo Chieftain. I think I got an alert on this, and it showed up at the Pueblo Chieftain. But in Pueblo, I don't know why this isn't happening statewide, but in Pueblo, police will start cracking down on expired license plates. And they give you instructions on how to renew your tags. Now, why that's there, I have no idea. Most everybody in this day and age that can fog a mirror knows how to renew their tags on their license plates. There's lots of options, by the way, on how to do that now. You can do it online. You can do it at a kiosk. You can go to your county clerk, the DMV. You know, it just depends on where you're at and what's going on and what you have time to do. Now, if you've got a brand new vehicle or a used vehicle you purchased, whether it was from a dealer or a private party, there's other hoops you have to jump through, and I understand that. But when it comes to just renewing your tags, it's really a pretty simple process. And it does chat my hide when last Thursday night, so a week ago tonight, I was driving home, and there is a gentleman in a Toyota Tacoma in front of me that has happy tags, and they're happy tags because the guy that bought it's happy, the bank's happy, and the dealer that sold it's happy. So that's why they're called happy tags. So he's driving with happy tags, temp tags, that ended, mind you, November 20th of 2020. So this guy's been driving around since last November on an expired temp tag. And I don't who knows how many different cops and policemen and so on he's passed with getting a pass, basically, for not having current tags. Just chaps my hide. Craig, you're next. What's going on?
Hey, John. When you were talking about religion, you know, I work with a lot of young people, and you know what the religion in this country has become? It's their cell phone. These young people cannot do their job without taking a glance at their cell phone every couple minutes or so. And as an employer, if it were my, you know, my say, I would say, no, you got to leave that thing, you know, somewhere else. You can't just be carrying around trying to do your job looking at your phone at the same time all day long. And that's exactly what happens.
It is. You're correct. One of the things in the business consulting end of things that, you know, I probably go over more often than I would care to is exactly what you're talking about. What do I do with these employees that won't stay off their cell phone?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the production is okay. They're not fully paying attention to what they're doing.
Nope.
Their production value has gone down. And I don't know. I like to just leave mine somewhere, and I can be without looking at it for hours at a time, and it won't bother me one bit. But boy, I only use it really when necessary. I don't do social media, so I don't.
Well, and now, by the way, what you just said is the biggest reason why you can leave it alone and they can't, because they're addicted to that end of things. We've done shows on that where we talk about, you know, the endorphins and the dopamine and the things that happen on social media and a cell phone and or a computer and so on. And the reality is, you're correct, Craig, they are addicted to that device because of that.
And, you know, it's kind of related in a way. You know, you're looking at what's going down in Cuba, and they're protesting, and then they shut off their internet.
Right. Saw that today.
Okay, so they're not able to share photos. They're not able to share what they're seeing, what they're experiencing. And I still think to this day, when all the riots started, the Antifa, Black Lives Matter riots started, and these, you could see in the footage, the video footage, these people are holding up their phones. They're recording all of it. It's just a constant need to be, see, I was there.
Yeah.
It's about me. Had they shut down the internet service in those areas, I think half of those people would have gone home.
You could very well be right, Craig. I don't know that I can argue with you on that one. I think you're right.
I mean, because that's their purpose for being, is just being able to there to put their phone up there and record it and then share it with, you know, on their social media and on and on and on. And also the other thing, what you're seeing in South Africa with all the looting in the businesses, it started out as a protest, but then it escalated into looting and stealing. And I think what happened up again in Minnesota, looking back to that, when they allowed that to happen, they set a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you've got sufficient numbers, the police either will or will not control it or can't control it.
That's right. You're correct.
And it gave them, you know.
It empowered them. It empowered him.
It empowered. It did, exactly.
I'll leave it at that. Craig, you're awesome. I appreciate the phone call very much. It's always a joy having you. Roof Max is up next. And as I spoke a moment ago about personal responsibility, you know what? That applies to your roof as well. What I mean by that is, do not rely on the insurance company. Do not rely upon your agent or an adjuster. You have personal responsibility when it comes to taking care of the things you own, whether it be yourself, your home, your roof, your car, you name it, you have personal responsibility. Get Dave Hart out, have your roof looked at, find out what's going on, see if he can rejuvenate it or not. He'll save you thousands of dollars if it can be, and it's a simple phone call, 303-710-6916.
RoofMax is the fountain of life for your roof and will bring your shingles back to life.
The natural oils in the asphalt protect your roof as weather and temperature cause the material to expand and contract daily. This oil gradually evaporates over time, causing your shingles to dry out and lose their flexibility. You may start to see your shingles cracking, breaking, streaking, and curling. Granules may begin flaking off. RoofMax could reverse minor curling, cracking, and granule loss to make your shingles like new again. The water-soluble plant-based treatment extends the life of your roof by at least 5 years, guaranteed. Call Dave Hart now for a free assessment of your asphalt shingles. 303-710-6916. He will go anywhere from the eastern slope to the eastern Colorado border and from Cheyenne to the southern border. Mention Rush to Reason for $100 off your treatment. 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, that's about it for this hour, folks. We've got another full hour coming your way. Liz Mayer from Mayer Strategies will be joining us. We're going to talk about Cuba, the rising opioid deaths, and if we have time, the Democrat infrastructure package, which they call it infrastructure. There's quotations around that because it's far from infrastructure. And then don't forget Scott Garlis will join us as he does on Thursday nights to talk about the markets. And I've got some questions for him when it comes to housing and the economy and employment and so on. So we'll get into that at the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour as well. But otherwise, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. If you want to call in between those two guests, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. Don't forget the text line, 307-200-8222. We'll be right back. Hour three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Just ordinary average guy.